Good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome to Cane Radio's Chip Shots. I'm Teddy Sliman with you here in the air chair at Cane Radio Studios, downtown New Iberia, right between Victus Cafeteria and DJW Insurance. And yes, summertime has hit. We probably won't see below 90 degrees in the afternoon until October. That's what we're feeling from now on, 90-degree temperatures with the heat index in the hundreds, dodging those afternoon thunder showers, and of course hurricanes, probably depression right now in the Gulf. Welcome to Louisiana in the summertime. Nonetheless, it's good for golfers if we can avoid some of that stuff. Even though it's hot, you need to keep hydrated. Drink a lot of water and maybe play late in the afternoons or early in the mornings. So let's thank Chip Shots as sponsors. I want to thank the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Lafayette, Mr. Lee Tadford. Appreciate all he does for us here at Cane Radio, including high school sports with football coming up in a couple of months for sure. We'll be keeping an eye on the football season, as it's going to be a welcome reprieve from last year's football season. Anyway, thanks, Coke, for sponsoring Chip Shots. Also thank GolfBalls.com, our other title sponsor, with President Greg Palmer and their new showroom, Showcase. Got everything you need for golf right there on Arnold Boulevard in Lafayette. Anything you need, soft goods, from balls and gloves and shoes, everything. They even have a simulator where you can try out all the latest in the new golf equipment right there on Arnold Boulevard, golfballs.com. We appreciate them sponsoring Chip Shots. And, of course, our local golf clubs, right? Without them, always say we wouldn't have any local golf news. So we appreciate their input and the information they get to me as I pass it on to you. So we thank Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, Sugar Oaks, and Bellevue, the nine-hole course in Franklin. One of few nine-hole courses left here in Acadiana. Their sister course, St. Mary's, is the only other one I can think of right now. All right, so results from Bellevue. A par 3 tournament. Ty Burdett and Ralph Longman won that, minus 2. Also at Bellevue, they had a dogfight. Mickey Michel and Charlie Ibert were plus 3. They edged out Ty Burdett and Robbie Darden, plus 2. Active nine-hole golf course Bellevue is. Got some memberships that really participate in their events. They had a shootout, but this was a kind of a different type of thing. Two-person scramble, but you only could use one club and a putter, and they teed off from the up tees or red tees. Mike Zerlot and J.D. Mayfield were the winners of that at minus 1. Fun tournaments, especially those little nine-hole scrambles and stuff. A lot of fun. And then finally at Bellevue, Hanson Memorial had their alumni tournament. 32 teams participated, which obviously is a pretty full field, right? Scoring minus 16 was a team of Bobby McDonald, Scott Goulas, and Robbie Darden. Second place minus 15 was Kyle Chauvin, Robert Broussard, and Ron Broussard. And then third place minus 14, Ty Burdett, the owner, along with Brandon Burdett, his son, and Al Kuhlman. Then down at Eagle Ridge and Cade. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I almost didn't go there because the weekend was totally raining. In fact, it was rained out. Most all the golf courses were closed for the entire weekend. But I said, what the heck? Let me go down there, because I usually go on Mondays and try to get some information for my talk show this afternoon. Well, I ended up going 2 weeks ago and got some astonishing news. The owner, of course, Gary Kidd's the owner, and I was reporting all this time that there's a hole-in-one pool at Eagle Ridge, and Gary Kidd won the last one about 6 weeks ago. He made a hole-in-one on hole number 4. He used a wedge, I think it was, back then. Well, don't you know, 6 weeks later, he made another hole-in-one on the exact same hole and won the hole-in-one pool again. Of course, this time it wasn't as big because he didn't have time to build up. But people again beginning to get suspicious, so old Gary Kidd and him making hole in ones, but he had witnesses, so it's all on the up and up. This time, last time he won $1,005. This time he won $545. And, of course, his bar bill. But I'm sure he was glad to pay that. Pretty unique, making two hole-in-ones within that short a period of time on the same hole. It reminded me of a story about hole-in-ones at Eagle Ridge maybe a year ago. And this, too, is unique. Larry and Nancy DePlantis were playing, their husband and wife. They were playing in different groups on the same day at Eagle Ridge. And I don't know which one made a hole-in-one first, but let's say Nancy made a hole-in-one, and an hour later, Larry made a hole-in-one. And they were texting each other back and forth, congratulating each other, because they were both playing in different groups, obviously. Larry with the men and Nancy with the ladies. All right, and then other news at Eagle Ridge, they're supposed to air fire their greens, which a lot of courses are doing. I know also Sugar Oaks and Cane Row are going to be doing that fairly soon as well. It's the time of the year to knock out your greens, and the grass is just beginning to grow, and that'll help jumpstart them. And then also at Eagle Ridge, they have a new assistant. His name is Christian Alamon. He's a New Iberia Senior High graduate. He's 25 years old. He wants to get in the golf business. So if you ever drop by there, say hello to Christian. Other great shots was recorded at Eagle Ridge. Sherry Ellender eagled number 18, which for the ladies is a par 5. Pretty long hole for the men as well. And then results of tournaments. Ladies area play, one of the oldest and most popular ladies tournament in our area, was contested there. And Flight A, which is the top flight, was won by Cheryl New. She had an 83. First net, and it's done by points. Pam Meadows, plus one. And second place, Laura LeBlanc, minus one. And then in the B flight, first gross went to Marie Prados with a 90. And first net, Liz Landry, plus three. And second net, Anna Bourgeois, plus two. And then also at Eagle Ridge, that was one of the oldest golf tournaments in our area. Another long-standing tournament coming up there is a geophysical tournament over at Eagle Ridge. And down at Cane Row, they're selling their memberships, promoting their memberships, because that golf course is getting better and better each week. Bruce Cochran's doing an outstanding job. He and I were both assistants at Oakbourne way back in the late 70s. Of course, Bruce was a maintenance assistant on the superintendent side, and I was a pro shop assistant on the golf side in the pro shop. But anyway, down at Cane Row with the improving golf course, they have a bargain price. It's only $142.85 to be a member there. And with that membership, you get a lot of perks. They have a handicap system provided by the Louisiana Golf Association. It's a little kiosk right there on the counter where you can log in your scores, and it charts your handicap for you, for those who are interested in that. And then they also, if you're a member, you're also able to book tee times way in advance as opposed to other players. You can do it online, in person, or the old-fashioned way on the phone. Then they have a marvelous website with monthly events calendar. It's got all the tournaments, activities, social events. They even have a menu with their deals in their bar and grill. And then if you're a member, you get a big time discount on their merchandise, new merchandise in their shop, and they have abundance of it. What I noticed last time I was in there was their shirts. They have T-shirts, but they also have Greg Norman golf shirts for $50. So if you're a member, 20% off of that. Then Hugh Andre, the new owner, told me that he's trying to wait for a shot there to turtle back the driving range. When it rains, the balls plug, and it doesn't drain very well. So he's going to, with all his farming equipment, go in there and repair that. It won't take him too long, and he'll have the driving range up to snuff. Tournament's coming up at Cane Row. Of course, the tournament I've been working on diligently with a lot of other people as well is Liam McDuff's tournament. It's called How You Living, and the golf tournament's going to be contested on July 10th. That's a Saturday, and they got actually two tournaments. one in the morning for those who are really serious golfers and want to participate in an actual tournament. And then the afternoon event, it's going to be more of a fun thing where you just go out and have a good time with your buddies and play some golf. And as some of them said, they probably might not even hit the ball. They might throw it. Who knows? Anyway, a lot of fun going to be happening that day. And all the funds that are raised are going to benefit youth programs in Acadiana. There's other things going on as well. So, like I said, it's going to be a fun day. They're going to have a live auction. And then they're going to also have door prizes and a silent auction. And then they're going to have a wine pull. They're also going to have a barbecue cook-off. And throughout the course of the day, three bands volunteered their services, and they'll be performing throughout the day. So come out and share some fun and enjoy out at Cane Row on July 10th. It's the three-man scramble, but if you're not even a golfer, come out and enjoy the festivities with us. And then at Sugar Oaks, we're talking about prices for memberships. Well, their prices, if you're not a member, are cheap. Not cheap, but, you know, you don't have to be a member to play out there. So they have discount prices for green fee players. That's the word I was looking for. $22 all the way up to $36, but their membership rates are just as attractive if you want to be a member there. If you're serious about playing a lot of golf, go out to Sugar Oaks. Let's see. They had some tournaments there recently. Wednesday the 8th and Thursday the 9th, they had their Pro-Am, the Acadiana Regents Bank. I'm sorry, Community First Bank Pro-Am, sponsored by Community First Bank as well as GolfBalls.com, our Pro-Am association, the Acadiana Pro-Am. And thanks to Dawn DeCluitt for getting me this information and for the marvelous job she does at promoting this on the website as her Facebook page and all that stuff, social media. And she came up with the idea of playing more than one day during the week, and it certainly helped this time. We had 112 players tee it up Wednesday and Thursday, the 8th and 9th, at Sugar Oaks. And the winners were Gilbert Boudreaux, Brenda Guidry, Al Landry, and Roy Poche. Minus 15, and they won $144, redeemable at their sponsor, GolfBalls.com. And then second place went to Roy Broussard, Louis DeVilliers, Johnny Oyer, and Brad Rodrigue, shooting plus 12, and they won $101. And then third place went to Joe Bass, Ronnie H.A. Wow, Ronnie's been winning quite a bit. I think he won last week on one of the top three teams. Of course, I only give out the top three teams, but I think six or eight teams can win money, and, you know, it obviously diminishes as the teams go down. But back to Ronnie's team. That was Joe Bass, Ronnie H.A., Dale Hargrave, and Kyle Mesh. Won $59, shooting plus 11 as a total team score. Then the low individual players, the A player was Jody Menard, plus 4. Low B player, Roy Poche, plus 6. Low C player, Louis DeVilliers, plus 7. And the low D player, Drew Walker. It says plus 13. Wow. That's hard to believe. Plus 13, unless my my eyesight's failing me, which it is. But nonetheless, that's a different story. Anyway, all these four players won $30 each. And for the members, they had a couple of little scrambles. That afternoon, Wednesday, June 8th, they had a twilight scramble. First place went to Matt Hebert and Dustin Hoffpower, minus 1. Second place, Chris Bork and Glenn Dupuy, plus 1. Then on Friday the 10th, they had a shootout. On the front side, Perry Judice was plus 3. On the back, Ron Finley, plus 2. And Perry Judice won the 18 overall, plus 6. Recently, they also had the Rusty Ruiz Memorial Tournament. First flight winner was E&E Fabricators. That's the team of Shane Este, Corey Hassel, Nick Trahan, and Ryan Gonsaland. They had a 63. Second flight went to the Jamie Segura Farms Tournament. Danny Segura, Justin Segura, Mitch Thibodeau, and Ryan Gondron, 58. Third flight, I keep saying this every week, but it's the favorite name team I've ever heard of. And the name of the team, I'm Here for a Beer. Pretty much sums it up, right? That team included Dale Agnon, Dre Viator, Nelvin Landry, and P.J. Judice with a 65. Then Sugar Oaks was the host site of the 21st annual 4-H Foundation fundraising tournament, an event started by my prayer partner, Bert Sestia, 21 years ago. And, of course, it raises money that goes towards the 4-H programs throughout the year. First place team was Carol Boudreau State Farm team, Mike Pesson, Kevin Arsenault, Sid Champagne, and Mike Moret. Second place team, that went to Tutty's Machine Shop, Keith Romero, Keith Domain, Jason Hebert, and Troy Melanson. Then the third place team, Terrell Trading, Bart Booty, Bro Povo, Greg Dubois, and Willen Broussard. And then, of course, we know about the Gator Golf Club. Most of its members come from Sugar Oaks membership, and they have a nice little rotation of tournaments that they travel to, outstanding golf courses. A lot of them on the Audubon Golf Trail from Baton Rouge to Lake Charles, and a great rotation. They have like 36 members on there, and so they really have a waiting list to see who tees it up and gets to go on these road trips. So here's the last their last two results from Tamaka Trails in Marksville. The first flight winner was Tyler Woodley, plus 8. Second flight went to Eddie Viator, plus 7. And then the senior flight, Lenny Dubois, plus 8. And I really thank Bart Booty. He goes out of his way to tabulate these results and get them to me in a timely fashion. As Bart just left maybe an hour ago, he and I chatting over the golf courses they've played. And so the last one they played, which we were talking about, is Beaver Creek. This past Saturday, they played it. It's located in Zachary, just north of Baton Rouge, and it's an outstanding municipal golf course, one of my favorites. And so the winners there were first flight winner Heath Boudreau, plus 3. Second flight was a tie between Randy McGehee and Kent Kern. They were plus 4. And then the senior flight winner went to Billy Hebert, plus 6. The next tournament scheduled for Sunday, June 27th, and another outstanding golf course, Cassati Pines in Kinder, 8:30 shotgun start on the Sunday, June 27th. And I'm sure a bunch of the guys are going to go the night before, take their wives and play a practice round and spend some money at the casino and then play the tournament the next day. Nice little weekend getaway for those golfers. Gator Golf Club. All right, in other news, NCAA championships were completed this couple of weeks ago. On the women's side, the number 4-ranked Ole Miss Rebels beat number 3-ranked Oklahoma State 4-1 in the match play competition. Ole Miss is the champions for the year. On the men's side, number 3-ranked Pepperdine beat Oklahoma, who's ranked number 4. They only beat them 3-2, a close match. The last time Pepperdine won an NCAA championship, many years ago, because this is only Pepperdine's second win, but when they won that championship many years ago, the individual champion came from Clemson. So guess what happened this year when Pepperdine won? That's right, you guessed it. The individual winner was Turk Pettit from Clemson. What an irony, right? I got that info from my son, Theodore, who's the UL golf coach, and so he knows all that stuff about NCAA golf. All right, getting back locally here. The Lafayette Men's Golf Association. You don't have to be a Lafayette resident to play in this. You only have to put up $25 and be a senior, 50 years of age or older. And they have two activities through the course of the year, a crawfish ball and a Christmas party in December. And then they play two tournaments a month, one at their host home course of Hebert Municipal, and then they travel, and they all on Tuesdays. Their second tournament's a traveling tournament, so they played at La Tours in Matthews, their last one. And the top finishers were George Begley and Greg Gautreau. And then second place, Steve Newman and Gil Morgan. And the one at Municipal was won by Tim Thomas and Jay Frederick. They were plus 5. Second place went to Harris Theriault and Greg Gautreau, plus 3. So that's a nice event. It's a nice association for sure. And this past weekend they played at a Chaffalaya, but I don't have those results. So I have to get that. Well, summertime's here, as we know by the weather, and we keep promoting this, but tomorrow starts the 2021 Sheriff's Golf Tournament and Clinic, long-standing event for kids in the Lafayette area. So June 15th, 16th, and 17th, the clinic's going to be from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Wetlands for ages 6 to 17. And then the tournament itself is going to be held at Municipal and on Tuesday, June 22nd for the 6 to 11-year-olds, and then Wednesday, June 23rd from the 12 through 17-year-olds. And get this, it's free for all these events. Plus, if you play in the tournament, you get a free T-shirt, you get lunch, drinks, and even a golf ball. Take advantage of that. Then on the Louisiana Golf Association scene, June 7th and 8th was a qualifier for the Gulf States section, PGA. And my grandson Drew participated in the 13 through 18-year-old age group, and he finished tied for 21st with a score of 79-75. If he would have been on the age group of 13 to 15, he'd have finished third. So congratulations to Drew. His next big event is going to be July 7th, 8th, and 9th at Ellendale, and that's the state junior. And then also with the LGA, they just completed their 38th annual football championship at TPC in Louisiana. It was rain-shortened. It was supposed to be a two-day event, but rain-shortened on Sunday. And first place went to Greg Baraka, along with his teammate Grayson Glorioso. They were minus nine. They were Jesuit teammates back in the day, but they shot 63, but because it was rain-shortened, they won the event. Finishing second was UL player Jake Marler. He's a sophomore and a left-hander from Shreveport. He teamed up with incoming freshman and outstanding high school player Eli Artigo, and they shot 64, 8 under. But they had a bogey on the 18th hole, which, if anybody knows TPC, Louisiana, it's a par 5. And it's not it's not a real hard hole, but it's not an easy one either. But to bogey a par 5, that's a no-no, especially in a team event. 96 teams were played in the event, which is a record, and that's why it had to be shortened because of the rain, because they had to tee them off 1 and 10 so they couldn't include the nine holes that most of the players got in. They called play around 5 o'clock. And the shot of the day came from Clifton Shepherd right there in Lafayette. He had a hole-in-one on hole number 3. And then this week coming up is the United States Golf Association U.S. Open Championship. So let's be looking for Morgan Biard. She is an intern. Of course, she's a daughter of Doug Biard, a golf pro from our area. She'll be doing field work out there and setting up tents and doing all the stuff that interns do. So with that, we'll conclude our local stuff. And we got Boxcar in the house now. We'll be chatting about the national golf news. So stay tuned.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
A pet carrier, a full tank of gas, a flashlight with extra batteries, hammer, nails, tape, boards, handsaw, matches, a fire extinguisher, water jugs, money and important documents, a battery-powered radio, just a few of the things you'll need to prepare for the next storm. Your safe tomorrow begins today. Visit clinko.com/storm safety to learn more. Clinko, connecting Louisiana's future.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Bayou Sports, 7:15 weekday mornings on the all-new Kane 107.5. Hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. And we're back. Chip Shots, 367-1240 is our number if you want to jump on board, talk a little golf with Boxcore and Teddy.
Is there any way you could turn down the volume in my headphone or not?
Yeah.
Because it is loud. Yeah, there you go. That's fine.
All right, then.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and welcome, Boxcore, with that comment.
Thanks, you too. Okay.
All right, so on the PGA Tour this week, on the PGA Tour, rather, there was a golf course called Congaree.
Congaree.
It's a new course. I heard a story about it.
Yeah, Boxcore, well, it's one member.
Yeah, no members.
The owner.
Yeah, the
what
owner.
What is one,
right.
The member?
But he built it, and he's from the Texans, I think. He owns part of the Texans, or, you know, the Houston Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
And he and another guy wanted to build a golf course for high school students to play.
Yeah.
You know, high school golfers. So that's pretty interesting.
It's
I didn't know anything about it.
Very odd concept for sure. But yeah, so, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I did not see one shot of this golf tournament this week, unfortunately. But by all accounts, it was a good test of golf, and
it gave those guys fits.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, and you know, here, you can't compare this to, I guess, Kiowa per se, but look, here again, we have a guy that has a 4-shot lead in the final round, and loses it. You know,
yeah.
So we went back to the John Rahm thing and how unfair it was with him getting DQ'd over the COVID thing. And I still think in my heart of hearts he would have won because he had won on that same venue before. So, I think that the odds were in his favor. But, gosh, we saw the U.S. Women's Open last week, a huge lead blown, the U.S. Senior Open, and then again this week. So, mm-hmm. It just goes to show you in golf, I'm not going to say no lead's safe, but,
no.
Gosh, I mean, on a good golf course with some hard holes, hard finishing holes.
The other thing I got out of it, because, like, you know, I watched the last nine, you know, sitting there at my house, and, you know, I was kind of pulling for Chesson Hadley. He hadn't won in, 7 years or something, and, you know, his wife was there, and he's 48 years old, and they were saying how, you know, the last two tournaments played in South Carolina was a Heritage Classic way back, you know, a few months ago, and Stuart Sink, 48 years old, won that one.
Right.
And then at Kiowa, of course, we know Phil Mickelson won the USO, the PGA there at age 50. So, you know, 48, I mean, it all made sense that this guy would win, but he blew it. And what do you know? A youngster wins it, you know?
Yeah, 22-year-old South African, you know. And,
yeah.
and congratulations to him. Only, you know, it's pretty impressive that he won in only his second career PGA Tour event, finished 11 under par, won $1.3 million, and also has PGA Tour status through the 2022-23 season.
Plus the Masters.
Yeah, plus the Masters.
That's impressive because, you know, this is like before the U.S. Open, you wouldn't think they would have a designated tournament, but they do, so
yeah.
You can qualify.
But yeah, Hadley, he pretty much just admitted he kind of self-imploded. I mean,
yeah.
he had the tournament in hand. And
he bogeyed the last three holes for a 75, you know, and there was his wife there. I mean, the guy had won 7 years. Of course, you know, I don't know. It's a tough game. It's a cruel game we play.
No, I mean, it is because, listen, I mean, you know, he opens with a 65, a 66, and a 68. So that's three really, you know, good scores, but and all within a shot or two of each other, and then 75. You know, so to me that's
I hate to say it,
but that's the old nerves. You
know? Oh yeah, I mean, and at 48
that's
years
the
old,
48 year old nerves.
Exactly. But the golf course was still stood up to its reputation. I think they had a record number of three putts in this tournament. So and like you, I didn't watch the whole thing, you know. But man, the story of the golf course is simply amazing for sure.
Yeah, it is, and you know, of course there were a couple of kind of sub stories here.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. You know, slow play penalty. But to me, the one that just really stuck out, and I don't have it pulled up on my phone right now, but the penalty that Mark Hensby incurred for playing the wrong ball was,
pretty severe.
Here we go again, okay, with the PGA Tour rules, you know, and I just kind of wonder at what point do we finally, you know, kind of move up to the modern times. And
I was talking about that with some other guys on the golf course. Yeah, it's got to remain a penalty. There's no question you cannot play a different ball than the ball you start with, you know, especially the brand and its type and all that.
Right.
But that 10-shot penalty, that's too severe. Because it wasn't intentional. He had no intent of cheating.
No.
Pat Perez, the guy he was, you know, putting with, and they mixed up balls, he could have done the same thing. This guy finishes in the top 10.
Yeah.
You know, winning whatever.
Well, luckily he didn't pick up one of Hensby's balls. You
he
know,
did. That. He just didn't play it.
Oh.
they mixed balls.
I mean, it's
but
just.
Pat Perez, you know, Hensby hit it in the water on the fourth hole, and his caddy threw in the ball out of the bag, and he noticed two or three holes later that it had a dot on it or whatever.
Yeah, so in case, you know,
kind of
a backstory.
A dot.
Yeah, no.
Implemented by the company.
By the company. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, in case people don't realize what we're talking about.
Right.
Is that the PGA Tour rule is that, you know, you have to play the same ball. When you, you know, if I start off playing Pro V1s, I have to play Pro V1s. If I play Pro V1 X's, I play Pro V1 X's. Play Callaway, I play Callaway.
Right.
Whatever.
The only thing you can change is the number.
The number, okay. Right. But the type of ball.
So type of ball.
Pro V1, apparently, this past generation, and they've changed the ball a lot. You know, every year they change the ball slightly for marketing reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, apparently on, and I'm not sure if it's on the X or the regular one, but they put a tiny dot on it.
Yeah,
and that's the one that's a bit firmer and less spin than the other one. And again, this is what is so incredible about the game that we talk about, we play, is that this guy could have easily finished that round without anybody knowing this.
Exactly.
Okay? You know, he'd be the only person. Now, you know, being a golfer, he wouldn't have slept that night, okay? but he saw, and he asked his caddy, did you put this dot on this ball? And then from there, it kind of went to, well, what is this? And then, you know, they realized that Pro V1, the Titleist, had put this little dot on the lower spinning ball of the two models. And then that's kind of where it all fit in, where he picked up Pat Perez's ball by accident on the putting
green. On the putting green, yeah.
And played it. And but yeah.
And that happens quite a bit. You know, when you're crowded on a putting green, you're putting to the same hole. Your balls kind of mingle with each other. You just got to be careful, right?
Right.
But Pat Perez could have made the same mistake playing in the same group with him even. And wow, top 10 finish would have gone down the drain.
No, I just think that, I don't forget what, I do forget what the old cap was, but there was a cap on the old penalty, but now it's a, you know, per hole, how many holes you play.
They need to revisit
that. Two strokes
per
hole,
That's not right.
And I think it was five holes he played that ball before he noticed it.
He noticed it.
And again, you know, kudos for him to being honest enough to call on himself. He ended up withdrawing. And not to say Mark Hensby was going to compete for, you know.
No, but still, I mean.
But yeah.
He had an opportunity to play, which he didn't have that often.
That could happen in the U.S. Open. To a Dustin Johnson, you know, whoever, you know, pairing that easily could happen, you know, and especially with, you know, You know, Titleist is still the by far the number one brand of golf balls on tour, and that's just an unfortunate mistake. But again, congratulations, number one to him for calling it on himself. Mm-hmm. But please, come on, we have the point in in this game right now. Where it's probably at its peak. I mean, we see it every Saturday, every Sunday at the golf courses. People that haven't played before are playing. You know, they don't know all these rules and whatnot. And I know it's a different kind of, you know, comparison. But let's relax things a little bit. Let's make things a little
bit. Not only that, but it's not equitable to have a 10-shot penalty. You know, that's uncalled for in golf. I just doesn't sit well with me. But I want to continue to talk a little bit about I'm on a pity party for poor Chasen Hadley. I'm looking at the scores here. He tied with six other people for second place, missing, you know, three putt in the last hole. Mm-hmm. Of course, bogey in the last three holes. You know what that cost him? Six people tied for second. If he makes, you know, if he pars any one of those last holes, and even if he loses in a playoff, he finishes – 441,000 is what he won, but he would have won maybe a million if
a second.
Well, I guess.
Well, 1.3 was the winner's share, so probably
900,000. Yeah. Oh man, that's hard to take. $500,000 he threw away.
Yeah.
By not.
Well, and I'm not saying I'm not comparing the two, but that, you know, that was his golf on the golf, and he just admitted he hit some horrible shots.
Yeah.
And I just think the pressure got to him, but I just think it's unfortunate when, you know, again, going back to some of the things we've seen in recent years when Dustin Johnson lost the U.S. Open because of the fact that he didn't know that was a bunker, you know, I mean, which there was no clear indication that was a bunker.
Well, people were
walking in it, you know.
Footprints.
Right, you know, and we just kind of go back to that, and I think at some point, again, I get the tradition, I get the rules, I get the old thing, you know.
But no,
every other sport has modernized their rules to kind of come into, you know.
It's got to be fair play, and 10-shot penalty is not fair play.
That's absurd. I mean,
that's crucifying a player. There's no way to recover from that.
Because to me, that's much less egregious than the slow play penalties that have rarely been enforced, but. Actually, were enforced at U.S. Open qualifying this past a week or so, but you know, will one ball perform slightly different than the other? Yeah, maybe so. I doubt it. I think it's marketing more. Now, if he goes from playing a Titleist to a Callaway or a Titleist to a TaylorMade, I can see that. But that same Pro V1 model, just the different, you know, boy, that's really hard for me. And again, Mark Hensby, was he going to win this tournament? No. But could this happen to anybody? Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. That's right. You got to be careful. But anyway, we're not talking enough about the winner, though. You know, 22-year-old from South Africa. We know you mentioned earlier that says he won in only a second start. You know, Jim Benepi was the other guy that did it in 1988, the last one.
Well, I hope he has a better career than
him. Yeah, really. He's already had a better career than Jim Benepi because that guy went off the face of the earth. But here's what the parallel to me. Of course, South Africa, you think of who? Gary Player, right?
Yeah.
He's almost 90 years old, could be his great-grandfather.
And
but Gary Player lost his mom at age 9, and this boy, Higo, lost his dad at age 10. So there's a lot of similarities there, and I think Gary Player has been his mentor. And, of course, like I said, he probably could be about his great-grandfather's age, you know.
Yeah.
Gary Player pushing 90, and this boy only 22. But good young player, you know, and that's what's great about our sport. We can talk about the older players. You know, Luke Donald had a good tournament. A couple of others, Bo Van Pelt, 46 years old, had a good tournament. But yet these young players, you know, it's like there's no prejudice here in our sport. You know, you can be young or old and still compete.
Well, that
the beauty of it.
Yeah, and that was my point with this tournament exactly, Teddy, is that, you know, you look at, you know, the winner's 22, the runner-up who should have won was 48, and then you look at second tied for second. And you have a Hudson Swafford, who to me is exactly kind of like Chesson Hadley's career, you know, All-American coming out of, I think, Georgia, and very mediocre career.
Right.
Doc Redmond, a young, you know, budding superstar. Johnny Vegas, a career journeyman, who's probably in his mid-40s. Well, early 40s.
He's been there a while.
Yeah, he's been there a while. And, again, someone who had very early career success, you know, Johnny Vegas, and you thought he might be destined for greatness and has kind of petered out. Tyrell Hatton, you know.
And speaking of him, you know, I got a story on him. He did something nobody's done. Well, it's only the second time it's been done. He had three eagles in one round. He had no birdies, no bogeys, and shot, five under par with three eagles. He held putts of like, let's see, I got it here, 62 feet, 42 feet, and then 107-yard wedge shot. No birdies, no bogeys.
Pretty special.
Yeah. So, yeah, he finished tied for second.
Good young. I think he's pretty young.
I think he's
in his early 30s, you know, but had a lot of success on the European tour and now applying his trade on you know, here. And, good test of golf. We kind of see what's going to happen. And I tell you what, if I was a betting man, I'd have to look hard at these odds for this U.S. Open, because I think you could get some really good odds and some really good players that might have a chance to win. I think it's just
why don't we clear our break and then we can talk
totally
about that.
Wide open. Okay, yeah. I don't want to forget about the LPGA and okay. You know, but we'll
We'll cover that and talk about the U.S. Open coming up. Stay tuned.
Right. Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 1075.
And welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman alongside Ralph Boxcar Bazaron. We're talking golf. A lot of golf going on around the world, huh, Boxcar?
Yeah, Ted, I want to kind of real quick before we talk about U.S. Open, you know, we're always kind of looking for the next possibly up-and-coming star on the PGA Tour. Of course, the Korn Ferry Tour is their developmental tour. Look out for Mito Pereira. He won his, you know, it's hard to believe that this season's already, you know, this far along. But he's won his third Korn Ferry Tour title of the 2020-2021 season at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. He finished 27 under across four rounds in the South Carolina Upstate, and he won by four shots. and he becomes only the 12th player in Korn Ferry Tour history to earn a three-victory promotion to the PGA Tour, and he's the first since Wesley Bryan in 2016. And he became the second consecutive player, along with Cameron Young, to win back-to-back Korn Ferry Tour events. He won last week in Raleigh with the Rex Hospital Open. So
now again, he has PGA Tour status,
he
right?
Does. Mm-hmm. He does. He has status. And, man, look, anytime you can win three events on that tour, much less back-to-back, you know, you can play with the big boys for sure.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they play in different courses. We all obviously know that. And that takes a special, you know, yeah, some courses fit a person's eye and stuff, and they do well every time they play that golf course. But to play different courses and win, that's pretty impressive. And like you said, yeah, he's ready to step up to the big tour and tool his game.
And the thing on the Korn Ferry Tour, Teddy, is that you have to be an aggressive player, not afraid to make birdies. Because, you know, unlike the PGA Tour, you're not playing a lot of courses with penal rough and, you know, things like that. So.
Right.
You know, 27 under for four rounds obviously would win almost every PGA Tour event, you know, much less the Korn Ferry Tour event.
Right.
So yeah, you have to have that aggressive mindset. And I think, you know, I think that is once they get to the PGA Tour, then you have the learning curve. Okay. So at this, you know, when I'm playing in Phoenix, yeah, I've got a Waste Management Open, I've got to shoot as low as I can go. But then when I play, you know, at wherever, you know, Harbortown or whatever, if I can get it 5 or 6 under, that's a really good score for
right.
four rounds.
Right, so you have to learn that.
So your mindset has to be. And again, I think that's where a really good caddy, seasoned caddy, comes into play as well. So
On the Champions Tour, I want to do this before we get to the U.S. Open. Jerry Kelly won it and finishing second was Fred Couples, and he's got a new caddy, Joe LaCava. He's now looping for Freddie Couples. Of course, that's Tiger's caddy, right?
Yeah.
He tied for second along with, let's see, who's the guy here? Freddie Couples and Jimenez. Yep. Most interesting golfer, right?
The one on hell who's not in jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And on the LPGA Tour, Matilda Castron became the first Finnish winner in LPGA Tour history in the LPGA Metahill Championship. And she won at Lake Merced and held off Minley by 2 strokes. So, again, we talk about the development of golf worldwide and the global aspect of it. And, man, you wouldn't think Finland would produce any golfers, much less someone of tour caliber. But congratulations to Matilda Castron.
Yep, there you go.
So now we on to the big tour. Huh?
The big tournament as
the
well.
Big
you
tournament,
know,
right.
Torrey Pines. Of course, that's famous in its own right. But we all know it for the 2008 U.S. Open there, where Tiger Woods went 91 holes with Rocco Mediate. And by the way, Dan Hicks and NBC they extended an invitation to Tiger to come on and be part of their broadcast crew, but he turned it down. And Hicks said he understood why, and this is what he said. I understand his situation. There are a lot of things going on right now in his world. There's always been a part of Tiger that doesn't want to become a sideshow, you know, like an event. That
right.
should be, he said, that we should be concentrating on what's happening right now. He said, I believe if he said yes to something like this, it would be a nonstop parade of ask, and you have to start telling everybody no. So I understand it, but boy, it would be nice to have Tiger in the broadcast booth.
Teddy, who was the you know, you try to rack your brain sometime, and that's one of those moments of I remember exactly where I was at when it happened. But when Tiger went toe-to-toe for one of his majors with this unknown,
Bob May,
I was in the clubhouse at Spanish Trail. We had finished playing the Shrimp Golf Tournament, that's where I watched that at. And the 86 Masters with Nicholas, we had finished playing the, what was it called? The Kemper Open that Cliff Oakland used to come.
Yeah,
when he had the insurance agency.
Right.
And I watched that at the old Brendan Country Club in the clubhouse. So, and that was just to this day, the most incredible thing, because we probably had 100 guys all standing around this little 20-inch tube TV or whatever. It wasn't the, you know, the big screen TV we have nowadays. But wow, I clearly remember that. But,
you know, Dan Hicks, in that article I read, he compared it to that. He said, you know, the hour and 45 minutes, the back nine when Jack won was incredible. It was the most sought after thing in the world. He said, but the 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, Tiger Woods provided Annex for 91 holes, which was like 2.5 days of unbelievable, you know, upbeat in every event.
Right.
And then, you know, to go 18 holes toe-to-toe with Rocco Mediate and still be tied and then have to go an extra hole is just like, whew.
And, of course, from what I remember, the crowd was pulling for Rocco.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sure. Totally, you know. Tiger was...
They want to see the king slain.
Was kind of, back then, was the villain, you know. I mean, and now, if he'd be in that same position, man, everybody would be pulling for Tiger, you know. So, pretty incredible. But, the good news is that John Rahm has been cleared to play in the U.S. Open.
Good.
He had two negative COVID tests in a period of 24 hours. And I got to tell you, in further review, kind of thinking about it, I'd have to rank him as my favorite going into the tournament, because I think that, you know, he was playing so well before this.
Mm-hmm.
All this did was give him a little extra rest, you know. All indications are he suffered no side effects at all from the virus, which is very thankful. But I think, you know, if I had to pick somebody going in as a favorite, I think I'd pick him. Now
I'm going to go with you there. You know, I wouldn't put my money against it for sure.
No, absolutely. My sentimental is going to go to who?
Of course, you know? Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
That's his home course. You want to see him win this
career Grand
Slam. Career Grand Slam,
you know what I mean? You know, and look, I don't put it past them to – but, boy, that would be – what a accomplishment if he could win that.
That could be – sports' biggest accomplishment would happen.
Oh, that would be one of the best –
Honestly, in all of sports, you know, I'm just saying, you know.
Right. You could look at the Tiger Slam, you know, Grand Slam, whatever. Yeah. I think at his age, if you won those two majors, that'd have to go down as one. That'd be like Muhammad Ali, you know, winning two heavyweight title fights in his 50s, you know.
Something like that. You don't know what it would be like. But, yeah, that's the sentimental favorite, I guess, for all of us, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to mark out Brooks Koepka and who's he feuding with? Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau.
I just think that's getting silly and ridiculous.
I mean,
feuds are feuds. You know, you don't verbalize them. You just have them. You know, you have them on the golf course and forget about all that trash talk and social media stuff.
And there's a part of me that, and I hate to be the cynical, you know, person here, but there's a part of me that kind of wonders if it isn't staged to some degree.
I'm with you,
because I think they might off the course be friendly, you know. I really do. And just much like professional wrestling, you have these, you know, kind of these feuds, and maybe they recognize this opportunity to kind of, you know, further their reputations and their followers on Twitter and all that. These guys, it's so important to these young guys, this social media junk, that's bigger to them than you know, in some degrees, to winning a golf tournament, you know. And how people perceive them. And so I really kind of think that might be and for that reason, and again, because of his pedigree in majors, I'm not going to count Koepka out totally.
No, you can't.
But we forget, you know, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, he had a good tournament.
And Dustin and Justin Thomas, you know, I mean, both, you know.
And Jordan Spieth, look, he's a sleeper. He's playing well, and he's found something, and you know he's on the right track for sure.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I guess my favorite memory, though, going back, and I can remember this because it was only a year or two, and my dad did not watch golf. Mm-hmm. Let me just put it that way, but I can remember spending one of the final Father's Days with him. When David Duval won that U.S. Open, you know, and to me that was just a great Father's Day. And I hope we have a sentimental type of story like that that goes along, you know, with this Ettore Pond.
No question, yeah, because it's an awesome track, and you know, a lot of great tournaments have been contested there, and you know, will be in the future. They say it's one of the last timeless Reese Jones architect designed golf courses. Of course, it's been remade by Phil Mickelson and all, but
yeah,
and well, we got a minute left. You want to give some closing thoughts?
Well, not too much, other than my goodness, I just pray to the good Lord, please spare us from, you know, I'm looking at this the forecast for a tropical depression, possibly in 5 days that we're dealing with, and we've been through so much the last couple of years here, and the golf course operators especially. I mean, they went through a horrendous, you know, the COVID, they went through a lot of rain, they went through an unparalleled winter. Just good Lord, just please give us a break from this storm and let it bypass and just go back out to the sea and not affect anybody. That's my
there you
my
go.
Final
That's
wish.
Your closing thoughts.
That's my closing prayer.
Good deal. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Tune in again next month. I mean, next week. Next month is a long way.